I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Where's your head at? Okay, really think about it. Where is your head at? And so to find out this morning where it's at, I want to take a quick poll, okay? So raise your hand if you can raise your hand. Okay, good. All right. Next question. How many of you made it here today? If your hand is not up, ushers need to go deal with that. Something's going wrong. And how many of you have been able to breathe, like, all morning? Okay, good, good, that's great. Well, I got one more question then. How many of you have thanked God specifically for that strength and safety and survival? Me neither. Okay, well, some of you are goody-goodies. Good for you. But I haven't. Most of us haven't. Why? Well, Proverbs tells us, Proverbs offers some honest insight on how our human minds handle whatever it is that we currently have. And it goes like this. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Lord, just don't give them to me. But give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I know me. I know me. And I might have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Look at me. I'm doing great, right? That's the problem. Don't give me too much. I'll start to get full of myself. But come on, does anybody ever think about how inhaling oxygen and exhaling carbon dioxide, I should be thinking right now, I'm about to be struck dead right here. Exhaling carbon dioxide requires such physiological precision that every single breath we take is a minor miracle. Does anybody really think that with every breath? No, you have other stuff you got to do, right? You can't just do it all. And I know I don't. I don't ever think about how incredible it is just to breathe. But the principle that Proverbs is pointing out is this. Abundance breeds amnesia, right? Having too much, we just don't even see it because we won't be thankful for what we don't think about. And that is because we all tend to tune out what we don't have to worry about. Making essentials like oxygen very easy to overlook when they're ever present, right? Like that's, we just don't think about them because they're everywhere all the time. We think about them when they're not. But that highlights a very critical failure in our flesh's focus that has the power to sink our actual spirit. And it's this, we are blessing blind. Okay? We are blessing blind because we are blessing abundant. But if you don't realize it, think about it this way, all right? The very fact that we are all here this morning, after we collectively threw a wrench in God's gears back in the garden when we made that big mistake, that means that every single second that we exist is already a gift of God's grace. Because he should have just snuffed it. He went, oop, that was a mistake. That's the end of humans, right? That should have been how it went. And yet, for some reason, we get to stick around. However, the same earthly eyes that pushed us to walk past all of the perfect produce, all the blessings for that one forbidden fruit, are still the same eyes behind our fleshly flaw that keeps us from seeing and seizing all of God's gifts that are still around us. Because we get distracted by different, but we ignore normal. Even if the normal is all the wonderful, delicious trees full of wonderful, delicious fruit, that one different one that we're not supposed to have, that's the one we go for. But that part, that human part of our perception needs to take a back seat to our spiritual sight. We can't be seeing things that way. Because if we do, if we let our flesh see things that way, we're no better than any other animal. Like fish. Stupid fish. Because fish are, you ever think about this? We've talked about it in the past. Fish are surrounded by water, but they don't even know that they're wet. And it's for the exact same reason that we are blessing blind, which is when something essential is everywhere, you don't notice it anywhere. You know, hey fish, you know that you're in water, whatever that means. No, it's like it's all around you. Okay, I'm a fish. That just doesn't make sense. However, if that is true, hear this. The inverse is also true, which is when something essential is nowhere, You notice it everywhere. Where'd it go? Where'd it go? Where'd it go? So if you want to teach a fish about water, to make them understand it, let them leave it. Because the second that a fish is out of water, they know all about it, right? They all of a sudden, and you could explain it, all you need it for this, and it doesn't, but you take them out of water and instantly they understand they need it to breathe. They need it to move. They need it to live. And as they slowly start drying and dying, all fish instantly understand that they want that water back. And I'm saying this morning, likewise, in the same way, God allows us to wander away from all the life-giving gifts of his love that he baked into every inch of our lives, all around us. So when his blessings go missing, we would suddenly see how much we want him. All of a sudden, we would understand, I want that back. We're told God did this so that people would seek him and perhaps reach out for him. Where is it? I lost. I want that, right? Reach out for him and find him. Though he is not far from any one of us, for just like fish, in him we live and move and have our being. Because the bottom line, he's the living water and we're the foolish fish. Right? That's our whole life is just because of him. We're the foolish fish who are swimming in a sea of mind-blowing miracles that are just so routine, we only notice them when they're missing. Okay? And that should be convicting. And I hope it is, you know, where we're just like, wow, that's it. God gives us all this stuff, and because he gives us all this stuff, we don't see it. And as I love to think that that's convicting enough for us to all go home and we can be done early, and we're like, all right, I'm a terrible person. Oh, I'll go work on it and I'll try to be more grateful. That's not even the point. What I really want you to hear this morning is this. It's more than a bummer. It's more than convicting. Blessing blindness means the enemy is winning your spiritual battle. Okay? That's scary stuff. That is the biggest problem that there is. So we're going to unpack it this morning to build a better bulletproof battle plan to overcome the enemy. And that starts with the scriptural strategy that Bruce outlined last week, which I love. If you weren't here last week, go watch that sermon. I enjoyed it thoroughly because he talked about how we got to bring the battle to our enemy with a... Hey, cutie! That's what we do, right? You'll get it. Inside joke. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. But it's just a, hi cutie, you know, where you just go bring it to them. Because the basic idea, the same principle is this. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Bring them a hey cutie, you know, bring them something good. And he reminded us that the good that we need as our ammunition for that battle is found in God's word, because that is where we learn to recognize and receive all of our blessings. We need all of those things. But because that's how we fight it, right? Where we got to bring the good. Do you know what that makes evil? Evil is the absence of that good. That's what it is. It's just that there's just no good there. It's the absence of that good. In the same way that cold is not a thing, it's just the lack of heat, right? And darkness is not a thing, it's just the lack of light. Evil only exists when God's good goes missing. Okay, you better watch it, Pastor Noah. You're getting on the verge of heresy here. Here's how it works, though. Because we are so surrounded by his blessings, God's good only goes missing when we stop seeing it. It's never gone. He's God. He's everywhere. He's so good. But we can stop seeing, and we only stop seeing when something else steals our attention, squirrel. You know, like that's the only way. It's not because it goes anywhere. It's because we go somewhere, right? We space out. We're gone. So I want you to hear this loud and clear this morning. This is what it's all about. To win the war for your heart, the enemy doesn't have to destroy you. He just has to distract you. Okay? That's all it takes, because emptiness is all that evil needs to exist. So if the enemy can keep our attention on empty, earthly, meaningless matters down here, our flesh's focus on that stuff can actually starve our spirit. That's dangerous. And that's true, unfortunately, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Right? That's the part. That's what we're trying to overcome here. And there's this study that I love. I love this. It's such a funny idea. And it's about Olympic athletes And they, what they did was they just analyzed all the faces on the podiums when they're giving them the medals. And they found that silver medalists often look less happy than the bronze medalists. Which doesn't make sense, right? You'd be like, you won. You're better than them. Why did that happen? And here's what they discovered. Silver tends to look up, like this one, this famous meme of what's her name. Or she's looking and she's just this, because they're thinking, I almost had gold. But bronze medalists are more content because they tend to look down and they go, whoo, I almost had nothing. But I made the podium, right? That's it. Right? That's the same podium, same stadium, totally different levels of joy, all because of where their head was at. The blessing that you have, I made the podium, that's awesome, not I didn't get first place. That's the difference. That's the power of our attention, and that is why the enemy wants your focus. You know, look at all the stuff that you don't have. Think about all the empty things. So what do we do? What do we do about it? Well, unfortunately, we can't just decide to do better. We can't just decide, oh, that's the problem, then I'm just going to be better. We can't decide to focus on what should have our attention and ignore what shouldn't. It just doesn't work. Otherwise, we'd all be perfectly disciplined disciples, immune to all the enemy's empty distractions. But does that sound like anybody that you know, outside of my perfect wife, who's never made a mistake in her life? No. Of course not, right? Like, none of us are that. Even if you want that, we're still not there. Because our flesh is our flesh, and our flesh prefers easy paths, even if they're empty, and it prefers immediate fulfillment, even if it's fleeting. So the problem isn't just that we don't know what's right. Like, we know what we should be doing a lot of the time. It's that we don't want what's right enough. Okay? Like, that's it. We just got to actually really want, has to be your heart's desire. Sure, our spirit does. Our spirit's in there screaming, come on, what are we doing here? But our weak-willed, easily distracted flesh loves the path of least resistance. My couch is always calling. It's just so nice. But that means that it's not a willpower problem. It's a want power problem, right? It's not about just gritting your teeth. It's about actually changing your heart. It's a want power problem. We want, bless you, we want the distractions more than the blessings. We would rather have the stupid thing over here than the actual blessings that are everywhere. And in a very overly intellectual, very stuffed shirt, bleh, 19th century sermon titled The Expulsive Power of a New Affection, Thomas Chalmers gives a great explanation of why willpower doesn't have enough force to get us to actually make the change. And it's basically this. We can't just shut down desire. The heart is too powerful. He says in his old-timey British way, it is quite in vain to think of stopping one of these pursuits in any way else but by stimulating to another. Right? Simply put, yeah, that landed with you, Thad. That's how Thad talks all the time. He's like, point of order. No. Simply put, here's how the rest of us talk. Simply put, willpower won't work because denial isn't enough. We need a stronger love to replace an existing pursuit, right? Something that we love more. It has to pull us more than the other one, because desire can't be just suppressed without being supplanted. Right? We got to exchange it for something else that we want more. So if we want to change our will, we have to change our want, which is why Scripture says above all else. And whenever Scripture says that, which it does a few times, you better get out all your highlighters and just go over that one over and over again. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything that you do flows from it. Okay? Priority number one, whatever you do, guard your heart, because it's going to decide everything. And that's why the Christian walk isn't about trying to follow some legalistic rules that you know are right in your mind. It's not what it's about. It's about falling in love with the Lord that you know you need, right? It's a relationship. That is what it's all about, because when Jesus becomes your heart's deepest desire, you don't even have to try to focus on his presence or try to fill your heart with his will. It just naturally happens. It's all you want to do. The same way that every single lovebird looks in their partner's eyes and says, I only have eyes for you. I can't even see the rest of the world. I'm so enamored. This is what my wife says every morning. She gets up and she's like, I forget what even to do because I'm, yeah, pleasant fiction. Because true love doesn't feel like daily discipline or like a rigid restraint. It's not something that you just have to like, oh, grit your teeth and do. It feels like the freedom to follow your heart. It's something that you want to do. You're so excited. Again, the way that she wakes up, looks in the mirror, I get to love Noah today. I'm so lucky. Case in point, here's one that's a little more real. Jacob in the Bible. Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel. Right? 7 years to get Rachel, but they seemed only like a few days to him because of his love for her. Right? Do you know that feeling when you want something so bad? Think about being a kid at Christmas. Like you don't care. You'll sell out grandma to get that Nintendo, whatever it is. It's just so one track. It's everything is for that, right? 7 years can feel like a few days. That is the incredible effect and power in want power, just wanting. So we got to get our heart to that place where you just want the Lord in that way. So how do we do that? How do we get our heart to want God's will above all else? There's a lot of distracting things down here. How do we make God the thing that we want the most? Well, I'll tell you, here's the good news, okay? Here's the good news. It's super easy because we're super stupid. It's super easy because our heart is a pushover. Our heart is so easy to manipulate. In fact, training our heart is one of the few benefits of having such shallow flesh. You know, like if the flesh is going to pull us in these directions, it's great that it's so, you know, shallow because it develops a desire for whatever it stares at the most. That's it. All you got to do is just put it right in front of your eyes. And if you don't believe that, if you don't think that that's true, I want you to just take the rest of the day and see how far you make it today before you see some advertisement that paid millions of dollars just to spend a few seconds in front of your eyes, right? It's worth millions of dollars. That's how much it can change you. And that is because our attention is the best marketing department that ever existed. Because the bottom line is, what gets thought the most gets sought the most. Okay? What gets thought the most gets sought the most. You're just going to go after it. You're just going to find yourself falling in love with it. So no wonder the Bible stresses constant contact as a daily spiritual discipline. This is what we just have to keep it in front of our eyes. We're told, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Just always be talking about it. Meditate on it day and night and night and day. Just keep it going so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Right? It'll just naturally happen. Then you will be prosperous and successful because you'll just be living. All the blessings will just come to light. You know, you'll just see them. And also, don't forget to pray how often? Continually. Yeah. Without ceasing. Continually pray all the time to keep the conversation going because that's what keeps the relationship alive. It's what keeps you in love with the Lord is that you're just in constant contact. Because if you just do that, you keep talking to him, guess what? That's how you'll take delight in the Lord. And then he will give you the desires of your heart. Because it's him and all of his blessings and everything that he wants. It's right there. Because delight isn't just a feeling, it's a focus. Right? It's a focus. It's the result of giving something enough attention that you start seeing all of its deep, desirable value. If you just look at anything long enough in God's creation, you will see the goodness that is worth loving in it. Again, I relied on that for my wife to fall in love. She's like, I've been looking, and finally, I think she found something worth loving in me. And giving that attention, that very like intentional, attention with intention of increasing your desire, that's called gratitude. Right? You're just looking at it to appreciate it, which makes gratitude a very powerful weapon in the war for our heart. Because giving God gratitude isn't just shifting our focus. That means that we are training our eyes to see all the blessings that surround us. And that right there, that simple thing to just like recognize those blessings, that makes it an indestructible defense against the evil of emptiness. Because you can't be empty when you're filling yourself with all the oh my gosh, I have this and this and this. Look at all this fruit that I have around me just naturally. You can't be empty. Because the more good that we recognize everywhere all the time and receive and put it in our pockets and everything, right? The more we overcome the evil of anger and anxiety and apathy because it just can't exist in the presence of all this godly affection and assurance and appreciation. It can't. It's just by definition. You can't be empty when you're full. So we just keep loading it in, which means gratitude toward God is ammunition against our enemy. There's no room for you to be empty because you're too full. It is only when we forget gratitude that our eyes drift to focus on the emptiness where evil can grow. Where it's just, what have you done lately for me, God? When you just stop thinking about it, right? And I remember a comedian, I love this bit, a comedian talking about the same idea, saying how terrible this is and like what a problem it is for all of us. And he said, we live in an amazing world and it is just wasted on people. Because when our phones buffer for like a second, we go, oh, it's taking too long. Give it a second, all right? It's going to space, you know. Will you give it 1 second to get back from space? Is the speed of light too slow for you? You know, I was on an airplane with high-speed internet. And when the thing breaks down, they get on and they apologize. We're so sorry that the internet's down. And the guy next to me says, oh, great, this stinks. Lucky me. And I wish I was there later when he tells the horror story of this flight because I want to say, oh, really? But did you fly in the air incredibly like a bird? Did you partake in the miracle of human flight? Everybody on every plane should be constantly screaming, wow, because you're flying. You are sitting in a chair in the sky on a 5-hour trip. 5 hours that used to take years and a bunch of people would just die along the way. That's how it used to go. But now everything is amazing and yet somehow nobody's happy. So unfortunately true. Amen and boo hoo to that. But you gotta recognize that, right? That is our heart. That's of where we're at. And so listen, gratitude is about way more than an attitude. That's not what it is. It's not just that we got to, you know, just to be better. There's a war for your heart. And every moment that we are not thinking about thanking God for all of this incredible stuff, we are taking something amazing for granted. And when we do that, we're leaving empty space for evil to grow. Don't give an inch. And that's why Thanksgiving is so important. And Thanksgiving is repeated throughout God's word as an essential routine, right? It's all throughout the Bible. That's where we get it from. That's why the pilgrims did it. You know, pilgrims, religious freedom to be more thankful came here. God survived. Oh my goodness. First thing, what are we going to do? Let's be thankful. Let's sit down and be thankful. The Bible tells us to thank offerings were part of the Old Testament sacrifices, right? It was just like, make sure, be thankful, be thankful. Giving thanks is taught throughout the Bible as a core part of prayer, you know? Bring the thanks into that. Our worship is supposed to be an act of thanks. And our witness gets its weight from our thankfulness. Everything that we're doing is expressing our thankfulness. And it's not because God needs it, it's because we need it. We need it because we need to see all the things that we should be thankful for, all of the blessings that he's just showering on us. All these things in the Bible, they are just ways for the thoughts in our head to fill up the battlefield in our heart. So where is your head at? Right? Is that what you're looking at? Are you seeing this stuff? Is it rooted in gratitude to focus on all of God's blessings? Are you seeing all that stuff and just being like, wow, this is incredible? Or is it distracted by empty earthly offerings? Are you this kid? You know, are you just like, this is what I don't have. This is what I don't have. Is that what, I mean, because that's so distracting and empty. And that's what you get when your flesh is just focused on what you're getting here on earth. Because if you do that, you're just going to feel more stressed than blessed. And if that's you at all, which let's be honest, that's a lot of us. Like I said, barely any of us are thankful for any of the things that we just experienced this morning. So instead, let's let scripture lay out the solution one more time and just really hear this and put this in your head and do this all this week. Do not be anxious about anything, okay? Don't do it. If willpower worked, that's how long the Bible would be. Do not be anxious about anything. Got it. We're done. But it's not. Do not be anxious about anything. How? Well, in every situation in your life, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, always, present your requests to God And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus against the enemy. You will just be like, I am good. I'm good. I got so much good. And just to lay out exactly how that works. Finally, brothers and sisters. I love how this is said. I mean, it's just one of my favorite scriptures. Finally, brothers and sisters, if you don't hear anything else, hear this. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything in your life is excellent or praiseworthy, just think about such things, okay? There's so many of those things. Just sit, think about those things. Because if that good, if it is that good, if you see that good, it is from our God. And if you appreciate those things, whether you know it or not, you are training your brain to love and appreciate God. It all comes from Him. Every good gift is from God. Which is why thankful thinking is how we take the fight with the emptiness of the enemy to the front lines. Right? We just go right up to it. No emptiness today. I'm too full of all these blessings. Because the emptiness of apathy instantly disappears when we let the gratitude in our lives start growing that good. There's just too much good in here. I'm too thankful. Look at all this. Oh. And I mean, think about it this way. If the greatest country on earth began at a Thanksgiving table 400 years ago and grew into all the stuff that you're seeing, as much as we stay in that same zone, just imagine what would happen if you built your little life with the same mindset, right? It would the same thing. It would be incredible. All the blessings that you have just been swimming in your whole life would finally drown out every bit of evil that has been holding your heart hostage. I just don't got time for that, you know? I'm too blessed. I don't have time. So this Thursday, I want us to practice, okay? That's what it's all about. This is your Thanksgiving message, right? I want everyone to go on the offensive with a round of blessing bingo, okay? Did you see the cards on the way in? I printed them out for you. Blessing bingo. This is the idea how we're going to practice it this week, okay? Get some of these cards on the way out. And then use this holiday weekend to start training your eyes to see what your spirit already knows. If you notice, look at this. I mean, these are things that I want you, whoever gets the bingo first wins a prize. I don't know, it's a hug, it's something like that. But these are things that you'll just find naturally that you're getting blessed with around the Thanksgiving table, right? Taking a nap. Who gets to do that on Thanksgiving? Yeah, that's right. 100%. Indoor plumbing. Who's thankful for that? Yeah. Next time. That gets a round of applause from our church. Oh, indoor. I spent most of my life in there. That's it. But you got all those things going for you all the time. So at Thanksgiving, compete. Make it a game. Who can get the first bingo? I got all of them. I already went to the bathroom and I already played a game of catch, watched some football and ate a dessert. Ha ha ha. Like, I'm so blessed, right? Because when you do that, you'll start to see it everywhere, all the time. Realize that it's just something that we need to be trained to see. And our spirit already knows that this is how it works, because Jesus overcame this world on the cross so His blessings could overwhelm our lives through our hearts. That was it. He came here as the biggest gift to show us all of that. And so as you are marking your card with all of the good that God gives, remember also that your gratitude isn't just loading in your love of God. That's great. And it's so, so important. But it is also loading up your weapon against the enemy. And once he is finally gone and out of there completely, it is nothing but an eternity of smooth swimming day after day after day after day. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, then let's pray about it, guys. Father God, we love you and we thank you for your relentless gifts that have the power to overcome evil and lead us to that eternal life with you. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask that you make our faith more attentive and appreciative of all of our abundance by filling our hearts and minds with your word. And Lord Jesus, we praise you as the greatest gift ever, the greatest giver ever, and the greatest guardian to ever exist. And we follow your example that proved how loving gratitude has the power to conquer everything in this world, including death itself. And to that we all said, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make His face shine upon you.